Today on the 4th of July edition of The Balanced Word, we discover how temptation works in our lives.
The fact that all of a sudden you want more stuff, that didn't just happen. That isn't something that just like, I just decided I wanted more stuff. No, there are people who spend billions of dollars to try to make you want things that you have absolutely no need of. And that's the world working in us. It's a system that's wired to suck every ounce of energy out of us, all of our time, all of our resources. It's working against us. And if you don't think that the world is trying to rip you off, then the world is going to rip you off even worse, because it has a plan and maybe you don't.
Wake up my soul, wake up early in the day, wake up my instrument I play, wake up my voice, let the world hear me say, you are worshipped and exalted here today.
There are evil forces out there trying to destroy us at every turn, and temptation to sin is all around. And it would be good for us to take some time to study carefully how temptation works and what Satan is up to, so we don't fall prey to it. Today on The Balanced Word, we'll set out to understand his tactics and come up with a plan of our own to defend against these very real temptations. This is part of Pastor Dave Rolfe's series, Smarter Living. Let's head back to the Proverbs now.
You know, a lot of times we talk about, say hi to the people who are listening on Roku or live streaming and all that kind of thing. And we sometimes take it for granted, but it's so amazing what technology does. People who are able to be here, who can't be here. A couple weeks ago at the pastor's conference, a couple came up to me, Mark and Celeste were their names, and they mentioned, you know, they knew who I was, and they said they pastor a church in Kosovo, and Celeste is battling cancer. And so they said every couple weeks they have to drive from Kosovo all the way down to Greece to get some special kind of chemotherapy. And they said, on that drive, where we're driving half the day, we're listening to your teachings, we're loving the Smarter Living series and Proverbs. I'm like, wow, that's, you know, you just don't think about the fact that technology, which a lot of times is frustrating for us. When I hear from people, it's because, oh, your sound was down low on your live stream or whatever. We get so used to just having that blessing of the technology. On the other hand, there are things like this last Wednesday, I was speaking at another Calvary, and afterwards, people were coming up, oh, we listened to you on the radio and everything, and this couple came up, and the guy goes, you know, while you were preaching, I told my wife, close your eyes. And we both sat there with our eyes closed, and it was like listening to the radio. I'm like, so you're saying I'm actually better when you can't see me? Thanks. But the technology is certainly a blessing, for sure. Well, as we're continuing our series in Smarter Living, looking at the Proverbs and what Solomon has to say, you know how sometimes you get inspired that you're really going to change your life? Maybe, for instance, you go take a Dave Ramsey course. And you're like, oh, I'm going to bring discipline in my life. I'm going to stop spending money. I'm going to get on a budget. And you're all fired up to do it. And, you know, but then you're on Dave Ramsey's website and an ad pops up for a book about, you know, how to you know, be healthier and live longer. And you're like, I don't think Dave Ramsey would want me to click on that because it's like $8, but it's just one click. And so you do it and you're reading that book and now you're pumped up. I am going to start getting up early, and I'm going to start eating right and exercising. So you get yourself all ready, and you come to church, and you're like, they have donuts here. And so, but you're like, it's for the kids. And so, you know, then you go to get a donut, but all you have is a $5 bill. But you're like, Dave Ramsey wouldn't want me to spend $5 on one donut, so I better take several to get my money's worth. And besides that, I had oatmeal this morning. I think it's okay. I'll eat a healthy lunch. So then after church, you go to McDonald's and you're going to get the salads. And McDonald's salad's like $12. But you're going, I think Dave Ramsey would think four apple pies for $2 is a better deal, and it's fruit, you know. Everything, all through our lives, we find there are these little distractions that are pulling us away from what we actually thought we wanted to do, making us who we shouldn't be. It's called temptation. A temptation is something that happens that makes you decide to do something that really you don't want to do. You don't have that desire. Temptation can be to spend money you shouldn't spend, eat food you shouldn't eat, stay in bed when you should get up, be involved in relationships that are inappropriate. There are all sorts of temptations around us, but we have an idea of who we are and who we want to be, and temptation goes, just this once, you know, maybe not. Well, in Proverbs chapter 7, and you can turn there if you have a Bible, Solomon addresses temptation and how it works in our lives. Now, in chapter 7 here, he tells a story, he creates an allegory of a guy who was at a time of vulnerability, gets like sucked into this alluring woman who's a real, you know, sleazy person, a real con, and she pulls him into a relationship that would ultimately be bad for him. Now, for Solomon, when he thought of temptation, he would generally think of girls, probably. He had lots of them. But it makes a good story for every kind of temptation. As we see how temptation works in our lives, there are a lot of lessons that we can learn from it. So let's begin reading with verse 6 and go through this little story. And it may have been a true story. It may have been something that happened to Solomon when he was young and innocent. Could have been something he observed, but it's probably just a picture of how temptation works. Verse 6, 4, at the window of my house, I looked through the lattice and saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths, a young man devoid of understanding. And there's no shortage of young men devoid of understanding, certainly. Passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house. In the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet wouldn't stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him. With an impudent face, shameless face, she said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I've found you. I've spread my bed with tapestry, colored coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately, he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he didn't know it would cost his life. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. What a sad story. A kid who just kind of naively gets pulled in, this woman's plotting against her, and it ends up, as many guys before him, she destroys their life. I mean, this story repeats itself in so many ways, but in more than just with, you know, one person seducing another. There are just as many stories of guys who very cleverly, you know, entice a woman to go with them. And the truth is, if we didn't do that, guys, none of us would even be married. But, you know, it's other things too. And temptation is something that is all around us. And here's the thing. In this story, this woman who was tempting him had a plan. She had mapped it all out. She knew what she was going to say. The setup was there. It was very clever. For him, he was just sort of innocent and defensive, kind of going along with it. I mean, he knew what was going on, but he kind of got pulled into the deal. And so she is seen as being the perpetrator, and he is seen as a stupid guy who didn't know how to protect himself from something that was going to destroy him. The first thing that that I would extract from this story is, for every one of us, temptation doesn't just happen. In fact, when we do things that are stupid, when we do things that pull us away from what we really want to be, when we end up making compromises in our lives in whatever area, the problem was we didn't plan to defend ourselves, and there are others who are planning to destroy us. They have an agenda, we may not. So in my innocence, I'm just thinking, I'm going to be a good guy. Maybe I even start to make plans. But if the people who are trying to destroy me are more clever than I am, I have a problem. Now, for every one of us, there are those out there who are trying to destroy us. The Bible calls that temptation. Now, temptation itself isn't bad. It's not to feel temptation just means that you are the victim of what somebody is trying to perpetrate against you. But the Bible describes temptation as kind of coming from three general sources. First of all, there's temptation that's said to be temptation from the world. The world is the worldly system. It doesn't seem that organized, but it really is, that there is an agenda out there that's trying to take advantage of you. The temptation from the world is, among other things, it's greed that just makes you want more of something that you have, or to grab something that you don't have that someone else has. Temptation from the world is what convinces people that actually things are more valuable than people. And so you get your values twisted around because there's a system. Now, I don't even know what to tell you if you don't think that there's an organized plot to ruin things in our culture, in our society. When you see how things have deteriorated, do you think that just happens by chance? I mean, and there are people behind a lot of it too. The fact that all of a sudden you want more stuff, that didn't just happen. That isn't something that just like, I just decided I wanted more stuff. No, there are people who spend billions of dollars to try to make you want things that you have absolutely no need of. And that's the world working in us. It's a system that's wired to suck every ounce of energy out of us, all of our time, all of our resources. It's working against us. And if you don't think that the world is trying to rip you off, then the world is going to rip you off even worse, because it has a plan and maybe you don't. The Bible also talks about temptation coming from the flesh, from your body. The problem is there's something wrong with us. The Bible explains it and calls it the fall in Genesis chapter 3, when people decided to do things that were bad for them, thinking they would be good for them. But your body often tells you something that it wants, but it especially tells you to take a shortcut to get there. You can have everything you desire, and you can have it now. You don't have to go through all of the trouble of this. And this is true in every area of life. There's nothing wrong with wanting a new car, but then to say, I want a new car, those things smell so good, and they look nice, all that. Now they have them where my iPhone can actually pop up on the screen, and only problem is, I don't have money to get a new car. That's not a problem. You can pay for it over time, for lots of time. See, you can have it now. Oh, that sounds good. It's like, that, for instance, if you eat really well and exercise, you're going to feel really good. It really does make a body feel better. But you can either go out and exercise and eat a bunch of salad, or a couple of drinks, you'll feel better, And you don't have to do all that stuff. You know, there's always a shortcut, and our body is really good at telling us, take the shortcut. Just go ahead and grab it. Get what you want. Grab, as the old beer commercials used to say, grab all the gusto that you can. Yeah, they don't show you a picture of a guy laying in a gutter when they tell you that. It's like, no, this is sophisticated. This is really cool. Get it. Grab it now. And even in your mind, when you're like, I know it doesn't work this way, it's still, the voice is there, the attraction is still there. There's something, you know, you see, wow, the lottery is up to $545 million. And you're like, you know, lottery, it's a tax on stupid people, you know, but, which it is, but then you're like, man, $500 million would solve a lot of my problems. So something inside of you just says, buy the ticket. And a lot of times that's just the way we do life. That is a temptation that's coming from our flesh. From it feels right, but in our minds we know, hey, it's not really right. But the other thing that the Bible talks about for temptation is temptation that comes from the devil. Now, if you think of the devil as a guy in a red suit with a pitchfork and, you know, pointy tail, I don't believe in that devil. But maybe you just think, I don't think there's a personal devil at all. That's okay. You can think that. I just want to tell you, for clarity's sake, I do believe in a personal devil. I believe he was someone who, the Bible tells us, was a beautiful creature that did a lot of good until he decided he wanted to be equal with God. As a result, he fell, and he's been lying to people and trying to destroy people ever since. Now, again, if you're all sophisticated and you're like, how can you believe something like that? I'll tell you why. Because I have seen people who are so evil that I could not explain them any other way than this simple, you know, explanation that the Bible gives us. You take a person like Adolf Hitler. I cannot, you know, if an evil person has to be influenced by someone more evil than them, which would be kind of rationally true, who in the world could talk somebody into doing what he did? And not only that, would be able to brainwash thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people to go along with it. See, to believe that that just happened is just something I can't swallow. To believe that that's something that was intentionally performed by an evil person is easier for me to believe. Now, all of these get jumbled up together too, because certainly, you know, the Bible tells us that the devil is active, that he has other fallen angels that are with him and doing crazy, dastardly things in people's lives. So you go, okay, wait, which one am I going to defend myself against? They all really work well together, truth be told. They're, you know, the temptation from your flesh, certainly the devil is someone who wants to destroy you, and so you can see him getting involved in that. The worldly system, the Bible says that this world, the prince of the power of the air, is somebody who's ruling. So this evil being that we call Satan or the devil, the tempter, he is somebody who is actually influencing the world. And honestly, how can you explain the deterioration of society at the rate at which it's happening in any other way? It's when I look at the last 10 years and I see what's happened, and there are some ways in which the world is way better, but man, there's stuff that I'm just going, who in the world would have thought that this could even happen? Well, it could be that there's a plan. It could be that there are things going on in society and culture that are very deliberate. And that makes more sense to me than the idea that, yeah, it's funny, huh? Sometimes things get better, sometimes they get worse, too bad. There's something going on. And if we don't protect ourselves, if we don't protect ourselves from these forces that are trying to rip us off, if there is, in fact, a body that's fighting against you, a cultural system that wants to destroy you, and a devil who has it out to lie to you and ruin your life, don't you think it would be good to have a plan to combat against that, even if it might be true? I mean, many of us have burglar alarms on our houses, and we don't know that somebody specifically wants to rob our house, but even if there's a suspicion, we're like, yeah, it wouldn't hurt to at least put a burglar alarm sign in your front yard. Might scare people away a little bit. We lock our cars usually, unless it's like your car is really a mess and you're hoping someone will steal it and you can get insurance. But if the Bible tells us that there are forces that are trying to destroy us, doesn't it make sense for us to at least defend ourselves? Understand the tactics and have a plan of our own. This guy didn't. And as a result, it destroyed him. And it says there in the end of the chapter that there are many people who have been destroyed like that.
We're receiving God's wisdom from the Proverbs right here on The Balanced Word with Pastor Dave Roth. It's part of a series called Smarter Living. And you can request a CD copy by calling 949-362-7475. I should also mention this entire series is available on a USB for a donation of $10 or more. You'll receive all 51 messages in the series that'll lead you to smarter living as you hear and learn to live by God's wisdom from the Proverbs. So call us at 949-362-7475 and ask for the Smarter Living Thumb Drive. Our programs are also available online at thebalancedword.com. Thank you for your support of the Balanced Word Radio Ministry. It allows us to bring Pastor Dave's teachings to stations like this one all across the nation. Donations can be made at thebalancedword.com. Dave Rolfe is the pastor of Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel in Aliso Viejo. You can hear him teach on a Sunday morning at any one of these three times, 8, 9:45, and 11:30. Visit ccpacifichills.org for more information or to live stream. Check out Pastor Dave's one-minute messages, a great way to start the day. You can listen to them at thebalancedword.com or watch them on Instagram or Facebook by following CC Pacific Hills. We have a couple of minutes remaining, so let's go deeper into this whole matter of temptation.
Well, as we look at it, there are some insights that we can get. You know, I think, why did this guy even go there? What's he doing? Well, you see he's alone. You see it's dark. People can't really see him. You see that this woman is like, you know, actually giving spiritual talk. She's like, hey, I just went and paid my vows. Praise the Lord. You know, let's get together. And she has a plan, and he's like innocently going through it. There are times when you are more vulnerable than other times. And some of the situations that were going on in his life can be some of the same times that we are vulnerable. For instance, nothing really good happens late at night, generally. I mean, so it's dark and nobody can see what you're doing. You're alone. Maybe you're feeling kind of lonely. Maybe you're bummed that you're by yourself. It's an opportunity that just happens to be there when there you are, alone, tired, kind of depressed. Not only that, sometimes when you're hungry, it makes you vulnerable. There are other times when you are bored. Just by living too boring of a life sets you up for, in this case, the woman who's kind of rowdy and she's not doing what people expect her to do. And she's like, you know, the Beach Boys said, I get around, round, get around, I get around. There, one time, one of my kids asked the Sunday school teacher if she knew that song to sing for worship. But it was, you know, what happens when you are lonely? When you are tired, when you are hungry, when you are depressed, when you are bored, you got a big target on your back. And these are times when we need to be more aware, for one thing, not to put ourselves in a situation like this guy did. Now, the enemy, and all temptation really, zeroes in when we are vulnerable, but also he attacks those who are strong. Notice there, when it was describing all the people who got ruined, it says that in verse 26, she has cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong. It's true, certainly, that our weaknesses are things that we should shore up because they're easy targets. But I think when it comes to this kind of temptation, It's the area where we perceive that we are the strongest, where sometimes it's the greatest vulnerability because the enemy can do the greatest amount of damage. You may think, there's no way I'm ever going to do that. But you get in the right circumstance. You get away, you're out of town, there's nobody around, there's no accountability, there's no way you're going to get caught. It looks like it was, well, it almost looks like God created this opportunity for you.
Happy 4th of July to you and yours. Next time on The Balanced Word, we'll talk more about temptation and how to overcome, as Dave Rolfe points the way to smarter living. This program is presented by Pacific Hills Calvary Chapel.
Wake up my soul. Wake up early in the day. Wake up my hands. And yeah.